Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Tanner Griffith. I am the Midtown pastor. Okay, so greetings from Vintage Church Midtown. Grace and peace to you all. It's fun for me to be here this morning. In some ways, I kind of feel like this is home. So it's good to be back with you all. Man, we've got some interesting passage today, you know, about these dry bones. And I'm going to get to that. I want to tell you a little bit about what's going on in Midtown first, just so you can like get into what God's doing. I know God's doing some incredible things here, but I'm going to jump in. Hey, here's a little update. What's going on at Midtown? And then we're going to dig into this passage because God's got some incredible things going on for us today. Man, a lot of you gave a lot of resources, a lot of time, and you helped plant us as a church. And for that, I just want to say thank you for that. Midtown is like literally, we're blowing up, okay? We started praying, and that was a big deal. And I would say that's the most important thing we're doing as a church. We had like one upper elementary kid when we planted our church. And we have like 40 kids a service, which actually makes us like on a whole, you know, for service. We just have a ton of kids, but they're all like toddlers and below. So it's crazy world, you know, in the back. And we just started praying, hey, God, would you show up? Would you help one of our kids have just some friends here? So when he comes to church, he kind of feels like he has a place. Well, that blew up. So months later, this next week, we're starting Vintage Students at Midtown. We've just got to make it happen. All of a sudden, you know, there's 12, 13 kids around them. We've got to start Vintage Students, which is basically a community group for our students, 6th grade through 12th. It's exciting. Also, God's just doing incredible things in the life of our community groups and our people. I wanted to tell one story before I get started. We had this guy come to a new members class. So I love to ask sometimes, hey, why did you come today? So he goes, man, I have never felt comfortable at church. Never. I've always gone to churches. Always feel like I'm not supposed to be at this church. Just because I feel like an outsider. He's like, I came here and I felt like I was supposed to be here. Just the way you guys like greeted me, welcomed me. I just love coming on Sundays, and that's strange. And then he said, I go to a community group, and he's like, the series we were in was talking about sex and relationships. It was the Song of Solomon series. He's like, I walk into this community group, and I'm like, what in the world are they going to talk about tonight? And he said, the guys and the girls split up, and he said, some of these guys started telling and confessing things to each other that I wouldn't tell my best friend. Like I just wouldn't talk about this stuff in their life. He said, I realized at that moment that they actually believe that they're forgiven. And that's why they can talk about that. And they actually believe Jesus Christ raised from the dead. And so at that point, I just feel like I need to learn more about who this Jesus is. So he's sitting in my class. That's the way my class starts. And I'm like, okay, I can deal with this as a pastor. I love that. Okay, I can like tell you more about who Jesus is. So we walk together. He keeps coming to church. Recently, he goes, man, I need to talk. And so I'm kind of getting excited. Like I think God's got him. So we go out to Beasley's Honey and Chicken down the road. I think I got a pot pie. You know, he has chicken and waffles. And at that table, we just start praying. He's like, I need Jesus. And we just start praying. And he's like, these people that I'm walking with, they believe this. I believe it. And over pot pie and chicken and waffles, eternity changes for this guy. I mean, that's awesome. And God's doing this all over our church. I know he's doing it here. But it's incredible what God's doing. And I really would say the best thing that we've got going on at Midtown is our prayer. That's what we do. If we're going to be living, revived, awakened church, we're going to pray. And so before I start here, I'm going to pray. And at Midtown, we do this. If you're able, I would love to invite you to kneel with me. When we kneel, we actually get ourselves. When I do this, I'm like changing my heart. Like there's this physical thing that makes me go, I'm bowing before the Almighty God of the universe. If you feel weird for any reason to do this, just sit and you can pray with me. But if you're able and you want to, would you kneel with me? And we're going to ask God to show up this morning and pray. Oh, Father, you are the maker of the heavens and the earth. And today we bow before you. A lot of us just, we need you. We're so similar to the Israelites in this passage where the one thing that they just say is our bones are dry. Our hope is lost. And indeed, we are cut off. That's how a lot of us feel. And so, God, we just say that to you. For a lot of us here, we just feel hopeless. But, God, we bow before you because you respond. And you tell us that you are never hopeless. Though you are dead, I will raise you from the dead. And so, God, we ask, we need your spirit here this morning. I can't do anything. Your word and your power and your spirit can change us and change our hearts. So today, God, we ask you to move in this place in a way that changes us, that changes our lives, that changes literally eternity. So God, be with us now and speak to us through your word and by your spirit. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Guys, thank you for kneeling with me there. Man, so let me tell you a little bit about my week. And we're going to get into the context of this passage here, but I want to tell you how it kind of like this passage tied together with my week. But this is from Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a prophet to Israel. But you know where he's prophesying from? He's prophesying from Babylon. And if you know anything about geography, Babylon is not in Israel. So why in the world is he prophesying in Babylon? It's because God's people had been attacked by the Babylonian Empire, and they'd been defeated, and they had been scattered all over the land, and a lot of them were taken to Babylon. And so God sent this preacher, this prophet, to his people in Babylon. Okay, so there's a little bit of context. And he's going to preach. This sermon that he preaches is all about resurrection. It's all about hope. Okay, so let me set you, though, in my week. This is a little bit what was going on with me this week. So I know I've got this passage coming up about these dry bones and resurrection. And so Monday, I'm like, I'm going to get to this. Well, I don't. It's like my day gets busy. I'm like, okay, I've got Tuesday. I can really do some stuff on Tuesday. On Tuesday, I start prepping, and it's really good. I'm researching, doing all this stuff, reading. I'm loving the passage. And I'm just like, I am looking forward to the rest of this week. Well, for those of you who know, you probably don't. I have a newborn. So on Tuesday night, I pick up my newborn, and he's really hot. I'm like, this doesn't seem right. So I tell Kara, I said, hey, Abel has a fever. So I hand him off to Abel, and to my wife, Kara. And she's like, yeah. So we called the pediatrician, and they said, hey, he just had his Hep B shot that day. We had our month appointment. So it may be, the fever may be a reaction to the shot. We'll call you tomorrow. So I actually go into work on Wednesday. They call my wife. They say, hey, how's he doing? He still has a fever. And if you know anything about infants, and the other piece is he had not eaten the whole night, which is, that's not, a baby should eat every 3 hours about. they said, you need to come in immediately. So we get to the pediatrician. I actually go home to be with Archer because she's calling me, hey, I think I need to go to the doctor. Then she gets there. They like send her back immediately. They're like, hey, we're looking at your boy. They said, you need to go to the children's ER right now. You have to be at Wake Med right now. So they call Wake Med, get everything ready. I get a call from my wife. I could tell this call was serious, right? Because you can hear it in a voice. You can hear fear. That's what it was, is there's fear that's happening. So I'm like really interested, what is going on? Like why do they want us to go to the ER? Well, she was just not in the right state to ask all these questions. Like I'm asking all these questions, but she's like, I couldn't ask. All I know is blood test, urine test, and spinal tap. You know, if you know anything about a spinal tap, that's what in the world is happening? So my Wednesdays changed. I'm not really working on this passage like I really wanted to, right? I'm so looking forward to Wednesday. I'm in Thursday. We get there and we learn, hey, we're at least going to be 48 hours here. We need to run tests on meningitis, all this stuff. And you know what? No meningitis. It was a virus. It was taken care of. My kid is totally good. Okay? He's at home right now. And goodness, he's eating. He's awesome. He's awake. He's alert. Awesome. But here's what I actually learned from God this week as I was considering, man, why does he have me in Ezekiel 37? Why does this happen? You know, midweek, my Wednesday and Thursday totally changed. Is there any, like, what can I learn from this? There's one thing that I think we can all agree on, whether you're a doubter, a seeker, or a follower of Jesus Christ. And it's kind of that fear in my wife's voice. There's all these things in life that we can say, and it's sickness and death, that we go, this is not right. Have you ever been to a funeral where you thought, yeah, this is the way the world should be? Anybody, I don't know if it's from a young, you know, person's funeral to an older funeral. Have you ever been to one that you go, yeah, this is the way the world's supposed to be? No. Every single one of us knows that death is wrong. It's not supposed to be like this. This is not how things are supposed to be. And so if you relate to death is not how the world should be, if something strikes you as, man, I kind of am scared of death, or I've been to a funeral and I've sat there and been like, this is not right, you need to listen to this message. You need to listen to it because God's going to agree with you. Death is not right. You are not meant for death. You were meant for life. And life that starts now. Okay? So this, if that's you, if you relate to any of that, you should listen to this passage. It might have struck you as weird as we were reading it, but you need to listen to this passage because God agrees with you. Death is not right. Okay, so let's dig into this passage. I gave you a little bit of the context. Ezekiel is in Babylon. He's preaching to these people in exile. The way the passage works is you get a couple of different voices. You get Ezekiel's voice, you get God's voice, and you even get the people's voice. Let me tell you where the people are at. Okay, so this is in Ezekiel 37:11. This is their voice. This is how they feel as the people of God in exile. This is the one thing they say. Look up at the screen with me, or if you have your Bible, it's in Ezekiel 37:11. This is their voice. They say, behold, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost, and we are indeed cut off. So the people of God, they're in exile. Their voice is, man, we're about to die. We're as good as dead. This nation, they've come in. They've defeated us. We're scattered all over. They are literally looking at, in a couple generations, we'll be gone from this earth. They're going to be done. And so they have no hope. They say, our hope is lost. And indeed, we are cut off. I really want you to consider today, do you resonate with that voice? And let me tell you, you might, if you don't even want to answer that question, seriously. If you just sit there and that, like, the sermon's just going over your head, I actually think that might be you. That might be, if you really dug, it's like, man, I sit here, I come to church, and it's just like dry bones sitting here, and I just like sit here every week, and I like walk out like a skeleton out the door. Or some of you, when you read that, it's like that cues immediately. You're like, man, I feel like I don't have hope. What's going on in my life? I feel like my hope is lost. Well, again, this message is for you. God is going to respond right after this, and he's going to actually agree with one thing they said. You're dead. He's going to agree with that. He's going to say, yes, your bones are dry. You're dead. But your hope is not lost. And you are not cut off. You are mine. And I am yours. And I will raise you from the dead. That's good news, man. So that's where we're going. Okay. I like give you the tidbit at the beginning. That's where we're headed. Let's get there. So flip with me to Ezekiel 37. Read up on the screen. There's two sections here. There's this vision in verses 1 through 10. So if you want to circle 1 through 10 in your Bible or you take notes, 1 through 10 is this vision that's had. In the next few verses, 11 through 14, it's an interpretation of what's happening. So me and you who read it and go, I'm kind of confused, God tells us what it means. Okay? So let's read this. Let's start in verses 1 through 3. It says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and this is Ezekiel, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones, and he led me all around among them. And behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. He said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. So the vision starts with this picture of this valley. Ezekiel's kind of like warped into this thing. He's walking amongst, it's just bones scattered. It's bones all over the place. And God asks him this question, can these bones live? And Ezekiel, he doesn't really say yes, and he doesn't really say no. I mean, it'd probably be like me and you. Can this fried chicken, box that I have come back to life or whatever, all these like chicken bones. Can this come back to life? I don't know, God, you know. That's what he says. He's like, oh, Lord God, you know. He doesn't say yes. He's a pastor, so he's kind of supposed to say yes. But I think he's like, I don't want to say no. I'm not going to say yes. He says, oh, Lord God, you know. So what happens next? Verse 4. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So there's instructions now given to Ezekiel. He's sitting there. He goes, Lord, only you know if these things can live. God gives him some instructions. He said, I want you to prophesy. And what you're going to tell these people, or these bones, hear the word of the Lord. That's an incredibly important thing for us. Hear the word of the Lord. And God gives him this message to say, tell the bones to come back together, get into skeletons. Like, they're not even skeletons. It's just bones. So connect to skeletons, get flesh, get skin, and then breath is going to come upon them. Okay? So let's keep on going. We're keeping on reading this. So now he's going to Ezekiel's going to do this. So in verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. And then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. So you got the vision. This is verses 1 through 10. This is the vision. God gives him, says, can these bones live? He goes, you know, God. God gives him some instructions of what to do, what to say to these bones. He says them, and they come to life. But the interesting thing in this part is they kind of come to life, but then there's like no breath in them. There's this little pause. He prophesies again, and breath comes into them. And these that were dead are now alive. So do you see how this passage is a passage of resurrection? Death to life. Okay, these are the people of God. Now we need to get, okay, what is this vision? What does this really mean? What is this really talking about? Well, the Bible's going to tell us. This is cool how the Bible works. It like explains some stuff for us in verses 11 through 14. So read this with me. And then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried up. Our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, and I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. Man, so he explains what's going on. He tells you in that first verse, in verse 11, hey, the bones, that's the whole house of Israel. That's the people of God. And the grave that they're coming out of, that they're being raised to life in, is this, they're going to come back from exile. They're going to come out. They're in Babylon. They're in exile. God is going to take them, and he's going to place them and put his spirit in them and put them back in their own land. So at this point, we need to ask a question. One, did he do that? And yes, he did. Okay? So very soon after this, God brings his people back to Israel, and he restores them. Two, what does this mean for me? Okay, like we read this, how does this apply to me? We are in exile. The New Testament speaks of this is as believers in Jesus Christ, we are in exile, and it started a long time ago. You can flip your Bible open and go to the first pages. In disobedience to God's word, when we originally took that fruit, we fell. And when we fell, we were kicked out of this garden and life, and we're kicked out. Where, you know what happens? Death happens. It's not supposed to exist. We're supposed to stay in that garden, walk with God. But we're in exile. And so you know what? Me and you need this passage. This passage is for us because we are in a similar exile. And here's the thing is if you feel like your hope is lost or even as a, like I said, as a church, man, is it, there's this like apathy in us that we're like, we could kind of say, we feel dead on the inside. We may know Jesus Christ, but these people, they knew God. They're the people of Israel. But it's like a death had happened. And they feel like their hope is lost. How do they respond? What are they supposed to do? Well, in this passage, man, as we read through this, there was three things that were really clear that say, here's what God's going to do. One, he's going to speak to us. It says, hear his word. For us to come to life, there's a few things that this passage gives us. One, his word. You know, he comes to the prophet Ezekiel and says, tell them, hear the word of the Lord. Man, God's word is crucial to our reviving, to our coming from death to life. We need to hear his word in order to become a believer, or to be honest, to become a revived believer. If you've fallen out of the word of God, if you're not coming to hear his word regularly on Sundays, you know what I can tell you? I bet there's some dissatisfaction in your life. There's just something there that God's word is not reviving your soul. God's word, that's the nature of it. It just revives us. So man, his word is the first thing that he tells prophet Ezekiel. You need his word. The second thing is his spirit. He says, I'm going to place my spirit within you. This is a huge thing. This is not something small. This is seriously what brings us from death to light is God's spirit. As I was reading this, I was really struck by this, the similarities in a passage that's always kind of been strange to me. So I invite you to turn with me. And it's in John 20. And I hope that this will maybe make some things clear. Man, Jesus Christ, he was the hope of Israel. Okay, so when they say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, the hope of Israel was the Messiah. They felt, we've lost our hope. We're going to be cut off. Well, here's what's interesting. Jesus actually became cut off so that we may be his, right? And God was not going to let that Messiah, like, oh, I told you I'd send a Messiah. No, he sent his Messiah, and we have hope in him. Now, listen to this. He's just died, and he's just raised to life. And listen to what he says, what our risen Savior says. So this passage that's in Ezekiel, that's all about death and resurrection. Listen to what the once dead, now living Jesus says. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors were being locked where the disciples were for the fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord, and Jesus said to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had said this, listen to this. He breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. You know, in this passage, there's all this breath talk, this ruah in the Hebrew, which can be translated spirit, wind. And it's like this church, man, they were alive, right? The people were brought, when Ezekiel speaks, they kind of come to flesh. They like stand here, but there's no breath in them, right? Where does that breath come from? Where does the Holy Spirit come from? I don't think John 20 is a mistake. he breathes on these people that were in an upper room, his disciples. Their hope had literally just been lost. They had put their hope in this Jesus guy, and you know what just happened to him? He was crucified. They were in that upper room, and they said, man, our bones are dry. Our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off, and Jesus walks into the room. And what does he do to these guys that are flesh, have no heart, no boldness? He breathes on them. And he says, receive the Holy Spirit. You know what those guys did? They changed the world. They flipped the world on its head. The Roman Empire was conquered by Christianity in 3 centuries. I mean, it is, and it's not going to be stopped because God gives us his Spirit. And this whole series, what we've been asking is, God, would you awaken us? Would you work in us as you did in them? And for some of us, man, you've never heard this message of Jesus Christ. You need to start there. God does not want you. He wants to take that thought, this death is not right. He wants you to say, yes, I agree with it. I came, I sent my one and only son that he would be cut off so that you would never be cut off, that you would be mine. And that though, yes, you are dead, in Jesus Christ, you can have life. And his Spirit. I mean, this passage is an amazing look at what the gospel is. This morning, hear his word to you. Hear Jesus' word to you. Is your sins have been taken away from you? Live. Were your bones? God speaks life to you. And right now, he can be tying you together on the inside where you feel like you're dry bones. He can take that thing that's causing death in your life and use it and change it and make you new. And that's in and through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Who this morning, I know Jesus Christ, this morning, he wants to tell you, receive the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, receive the Holy Spirit. Put your faith in me. Believe in me. Trust. Hear my word. And be made alive. Death is not the final reality. You know, recently there's these pictures that came out from ISIS. They were, you know, drowning some Christians. Put them in a cage, drowned them, tied some explosive rope around their, you know, throats, pulled the trigger, blew their heads off. Some of the heads didn't completely come off. When Jesus died and defeated death, he changed every single thing. Yeah, death's not right, but here's what I got to tell you. It's not the end. The very thing, the very worst thing ISIS thought they could do to those Christians was the very best thing that happened to those Christians. They're like, man, we're going to kill these people. They're going to be dead. You know what happened to them? They went and met Jesus Christ. And they are perfect in him. If they have placed their faith in him, then they're with Jesus Christ. That's what the reality of the gospel does. It can take the very worst thing in your future, which you might have been like, is death. And it goes, man, it lets us talk to death and smack talk death. A death, where is your sting? Where is your victory? Christ has defeated you. And in Christ, I have the confidence to walk and love and live on this great mission that he's given us. Let's pray. Jesus Christ, you have defeated death on our behalf. And God, we ask that you would just literally move in this room. And for those of us that have never received you, God, I ask that you would just make yourself evident to them, that they would see you, even in the worship that we're about to do here, you'd see, that they would see the reality of who you are as the risen Lord, even as we just sing. God, help us put all of our hope, all of our trust in what you have accomplished for us on the cross of Jesus Christ. God, would you empower us to love this city? Would you awaken us to a new freshness and a new power that literally will change Raleigh, change the United States, even change the world? God, we love you. Thank you for what you're doing here. Amen.